What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode here of A Yank and a Swede, a Premier League podcast. I'm your Swede, Sebastian Noren, with me, your Yank, Elliot Niblock. And boy, do we have a matchup for you this weekend. It is one heck of a London derby coming up here between Arsenal and Chelsea. We'll delve into that along with the other matchups here for the Premier League as it's turning into quite the race here in the top four, a lot thanks to Manchester United's phenomenal form right now.
Yeah, 6 out of 6, inspiring the special one. That's pretty special, I'd have to say.
Yep, that is very special. So we'll talk about that in a lot whole more. So, Elliot, it's been about a week since we last spoke. And how has it been processing the 1-0 defeat to West Ham last Saturday?
I mean, that was in and of itself, that might be the worst game that we've played all season. And in fact, I think that you could argue that it was. So that losing that game was in and of itself bad. Insult to injury, the fact that I was out late drinking, I still woke up at 7 to watch it, and then I just felt like garbage the whole day. So, you know, the ills of being a fan of the Premier League on this side of the Atlantic. At least we're both lucky enough to live in the Eastern time zone. But honestly, the things that have happened subsequently, seemingly behind closed doors, as much as we can, you know them without actually being part of the club, are even more concerning for me. And so, yeah, it's the result is frustrating, and it's just a fact of life that when things go poorly, people talk a lot more than, you know, than they do when things are going well, right? You know, the pundits like to pick apart all of the big teams when they're doing poorly and less so when, oh, Arsenal are on a 20-game unbeaten run. Great, fine, move on. But, oh, Arsenal lost 1-0 to West Ham, So I honestly, the performance itself was abject. We looked toothless from back to front. We lacked the creative spark. Why, for the life of me, Ramsey wasn't starting, I don't know. Obviously, we'll talk a little more on his future shortly. Why Ozil is mysteriously constantly injured, there's so many question marks around that. But as bad as those 90 minutes on the pitch at London Stadium were, the concerns at Arsenal run far deeper than that single match. It's just, you know, insult to injury that all of these issues are coming to a head on the heels of our worst performance on the pitch itself this season.
Yeah, so let's start with Ramsey. So new reports coming out of Sky Italia that a pre-contract is imminent with Juventus. So, I mean, it just seems to be a matter of time here before it's made official.
Yeah, and this is not new information, right? I mean, the writing has been on the wall for Ramsey's departure since November when the club rescinded their previous contract offer. Again, why they rescinded that offer is beyond me. He's going to be earning a significant wage. I believe he'll be the 6th highest paid player in Italy, but it's nothing compared to the wages of, you know, Mesut Ozil. It's not astronomical. And why we rescinded the offer in the first place, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the ownership in the form of Kroenke and refusing to pay those wages. Maybe it has something to do with financial fair play. I've heard that, you know, we can't really increase our wage bill more, although I believe there to be ways around that. Maybe it has to do with Unai Emery. But again, connecting it back to what we are all interested in the first place, the performance on the pitch, we are lacking creativity in the midfield, and letting a player of Ramsey's quality go first for free, second, is a poor piece of footballing strategy on the one hand and financial strategy on the other. It's extremely frustrating, and it seems to be yet another instance in which Arsenal are self-saboteurs.
So do you think that they should try and, let's say Juventus, they come to an agreement with Ramsey, should they try and negotiate a fee so that they let him go here in January?
Well, no, because that's essentially off the table, right? He's already signed the pre-contract. If assuming this report from Sky to be true, which I take it on face value that it is, then he's already signed that pre-contract agreement, right? You know, it is, and there's no guarantee that he would get that same salary were Juventus paying a fee for him on top of that. And make no mistake, this is a great situation for both the player and the club Juventus, right? Because Juventus are already sitting first in Serie A. They have a pretty comfortable lead there. I believe it's 9, maybe 10 points. I don't think they've even lost this season. You know, they're not desperate for Aaron Ramsey's services in the way that an Arsenal side lacking creativity, losing 1-0 to West Ham for the first time on the road in over a decade, does lack creativity, needs quality in the midfield. And yet he's not starting in the 11. He's starting on the bench and is having a limited impact. And he's been a consummate professional all season, you know, despite the question marks around his future. He's gone up there and worked hard. But I think it's fair to ask if he's going to continue doing that down the stretch. Again, I have faith in him. I think he will. But, you know, even if he just lets his foot off the gas 4 or 5%, that can be the difference between a winning goal and not. And so Juventus aren't desperate for him. Why would they pay extra money to have him now? Arsenal would like that money, but also why would Aaron Ramsey jeopardize the wage that he negotiated with Juventus, assuming there would be no transfer fee, by leaving early? I mean, he's going to collect his smaller paycheck for the next 6 months in North London, say goodbye, thanks for the memories, and the fans should support him, right? This is a mismanagement on club level. I do not blame the player. I will be sad to see him go. But, you know, it was for the best for his future. And he's given a lot to this club. He's given trophies to this club. So, yeah, great to Aaron Ramsey. Good luck in Italy. Horrible management of the situation by Arsenal Football Club all around.
And what's the latest on Mesut Özil?
The latest is that there is no latest. I mean, and it's clear as mud, right? Because the injury reports seem like he's injured. Well, maybe he's going to leave. Reports that David Ornstein of BBC reportedly said that Emery specifically told Özil it would be best for him to leave the club because he didn't see him as part of his plans. It's a nightmarish scenario, right? And my hope was that by this point, more than halfway through January, it's kind of hard to believe, but here we are, that the grand strategy of Arsenal Football Club would have been laid bare for all to see, and that Özil would have been moved on, and Ramsey would have signed the contract to stay at the club. You know, similar to the business that we did a year ago with moving on Alexis and picking up Mkhitaryan. You know, not the move that I think most Arsenal fans really wanted, but a sense that, yeah, we were in a bad scenario, but we got something from it. Now we're in a bad scenario, and we're getting nothing out of it. And, I honestly, because of the mismanagement of this whole situation surrounding Aaron Ramsey, I don't have much faith that we're going to be doing anything but plunking £350,000 every Friday into Mesut Özil's bank account while he sits on the bench, or maybe doesn't even make the bench. And the one thing that I want to point out, I don't know if you've heard about this, Seb, but there are rumors circulating that our head of recruitment, Sven Mislintat, who came over from Dortmund, who earned fame there by spotting talents like Aubameyang and Ousmane Dembele and bringing them to the Waldstadion, that he is going to leave Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And his appointment was one that I personally, and I know a lot of other Arsenal fans, was really excited about. You know, here's a guy with a proven track record for bringing young, unidentified or underappreciated talent up to the next level and letting a club like Dortmund, that is not Bayern Munich, that does not have the resources of Bayern Munich, but is nonetheless a quote-unquote big club with a large following and substantial financial resources to really play on the same level as the quote-unquote biggest club in their league. And he was instrumental in them getting there. He was instrumental in the rise of Jurgen Klopp. He was instrumental in the fact that Dortmund continues to challenge for the title, something that Arsenal can only hope to do. And we all hoped that he would be doing exactly that in North London. And we've seen him do it to some extent. You know, there's some jokes about, oh, he just keeps buying Dortmund players like, you know, just Gratis and Aubameyang and your Mkhitaryan. But Lucas Torreira has been a huge success. Matteo Guendouzi, he's still pretty raw. I think that, you know, we can't ask too much of him at the young age, not having played in top flight until this season. But they're both really promising young players. And I was looking forward to another 4, 5, hell, maybe even 10 years of him identifying players like that and building a squad around it. But if he is leaving Arsenal in less than 2 years, that is a huge red flag that all of the other red flags in terms of Ramsey and Ertzel, that things are seriously wrong in the back of house at the Emirates.
Yeah, it seems like he'll be going to Bayern, right?
Yeah, that's the talk, which of course will also, you know, be gutting for all of the Dortmund fans, right? You know, and that's the other concern, that in terms of, like, let's focus back on Aaron Ramsey just for a moment, right? That it's okay, well, he's leaving on a free, that sucks. It sucks that he's leaving at all, but at least he's going abroad. Well, boy, will Arsenal have even more egg on their face than they already do, which is like a 6-egg omelet at this point. Should he come back and play for the likes of Chelsea or Manchester United or, God in heaven forbid, Tottenham Hotspur? But it could happen.
I mean, we'll see. That's
for
sure.
I think he's going to stick around in Italy and be a useful squad player, maybe not always in the starting 11, but frequently enough on the team sheet and win a lot of trophies. And I think it's going to be a great experience for him. And as happy as I am for the player, I am disappointed and even borderline furious with the club.
Yeah, so big game coming up here at the Emirates, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time kickoff against Chelsea on Saturday. Chelsea, meanwhile, seems to be in this weird little striker carousel where they want to get Gonzalo Higuain in, and then they would loan out Alvaro Morata to Atletico Madrid, and then they're also trying to sell Batshuayi to Monaco after his loan deal was cut short.
Yeah, it's, Alvaro Morata has not been the revelation that everyone at Stamford Bridge hoped he would be.
No.
It's a little weird. It's actually somewhat reminiscent of the kind of strange carousel, again, speaking of January a year ago, that saw Olivier Giroud arrive, Batshuayi, God, I can never say his name.
Batshuayi?
Yeah, Batshuayi depart in order to also to facilitate the Aubameyang arrival at the Emirates. Yeah, I mean, it's a position that they have to sort out. It's Chelsea are in a really strange spot, right? Because I think that they're inarguably in better shape than Arsenal. But despite their position in the table, if I'm a Chelsea supporter, I would be envious of Manchester United, even though, you know, 6 short weeks ago, Man U were in this horrible position and Chelsea were looking much stronger. But needing to still sort out that striker position, knowing that even if Higuain arrives, he's not a long-term replacement. I mean, he has had a long and successful career, but, you know, he's in his early 30s, not his early 20s. No. So he's not going to be the striker to cement his place at Chelsea and be the next Drogba by any stretch of the imagination. Hazard is on his way out. So as much as Sarri has provided, you know, the Blues with reason to be optimistic, question marks remain for not only the immediate January transfer future, but the longer kind of rebuilding future, especially if Hazard goes, and I think he will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then that's the point, too. They haven't had that dominant center forward since Drogba left when he first left the 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they expected more Morata, absolutely. Diego Costa, he had his moments, but at the same time, he's loony.
Yes, he's
brilliantly talented locker room poison who's always prone to get a red card.
Yeah. So, I don't know if Gonzalo Higuain is the answer to their prayers.
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, Sky is reporting that that deal has been agreed. It's still, though, even as I highlight these question marks that are circling around Stamford Bridge, as we look towards this weekend, I can't imagine that Arsenal allow fewer than two goals, and without any creativity in midfield, I can't even see us scoring a goal. Maybe one, maybe, yeah. But, you know, despite lingering questions for Chelsea, I fully expect them to take all 3 points against Arsenal this weekend as the spiral in North London continues.
Yeah, and we should say that there's a good link there between Maurizio Sarri and Higuain since they worked together at Napoli, where Higuain really came into his own.
Yeah.
So maybe he can get the best out of him. Who knows? Who knows? So with Arsenal, you know, with their having two defeats in the last three league games, they are sitting in fifth place, 41 points, the same amount of points as Manchester United after their fine run of form. They had their first, you know, real big test here under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when they played Spurs on the road. They passed. I wouldn't say they passed with flying colors, but they did pass. They took a 1-0 win thanks to Marcus Rashford and Paul Pogba.
And they also took out Harry Kane, which I think has something to do with that.
Yeah, and David De Gea had a monster of a game in that. You know,
I mean, even in the worst times of Jose, there was no question that he's the best keeper in the world.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so good. He had so many great saves in this game because Spurs had a bunch of chances. They really did. But I was happy to see that United could see a game like this out and get a 1-0 win because you know, can't score 4 or 5 goals every game.
Spurs continue their trajectory towards not having a single draw. The perfect binary season.
Yep, that's very, very true. Yeah, they sit in third place, 16 wins, 6 losses, 0 draws. So, it was a really good weekend for Chelsea and Manchester United last weekend as Spurs and Arsenal both lost. So right now, Chelsea sitting in fourth place with 47 points. So they still have 6 points down to Arsenal and Manchester United, but they're only a single point behind Spurs now, with an injured Harry Kane.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think that the prospect of... Granted, I expect that United will defeat Brighton at Old Trafford this weekend, so it won't be opening a 9-point gap, but it will be opening a 9-point gap over Arsenal should they, in fact, win this weekend. And then, you know, the fact that Arsenal will... God, it's so frustrating from a Gunners perspective, you know, because we had that long unbeaten run. Everybody got really excited. Maybe we can actually challenge for the top four, because coming into the season, our expectations were, yeah, we'll probably finish fifth. It'll be a rebuilding year. But should Chelsea, in fact, win, then it's, I don't want to say we're totally out of the top four race, but looking up 9 points once sitting in sixth place, That's horrible. It's a horrible place to be in January. And yes, we would have hoped that we were at least, you know, 2, 3, maybe 5 points off the top four. But 9, a full 3 games, I don't see it. I don't see us beating Chelsea in the near future. And then in the longer term, I can't see this side overcoming a 9-point gap without significant additions from the transfer market this month, and I don't see that happening.
No, it seems like they're going to keep pretty quiet. A draw would be good in my book there for Manchester United as far as the game between Arsenal and Chelsea, of course. Yeah, it will be interesting. At the top of the table, Liverpool still at the top, 57 points after getting a 1-0 win on the road against Brighton, and City in second with 53 points after their 3-0 win over Wolves, which had a little bit of everything. It had a red card, it had an own goal. It was it was quite bad. It was quite bad. But yeah, it will be very, very interesting here. If we take a look at what the other top six teams have on slate, like you said, Manchester United, they play Brighton at home. That's on Saturday at 10 a.m. Liverpool, they take on Crystal Palace, also 10 a.m. Saturday. And then on Sunday, Man City, they take on Huddersfield on the road. And Spurs play at Craven Cottage against Fulham.
Yeah, even without Harry Kane, sorry, Cottagers, I expect Tottenham to bounce back from their defeat to United and win that one.
Yep.
And Huddersfield just having let go of American David Wagner.
Yes.
We'll see. I still think, despite the manifest new manager bump that we've seen for so many teams in the Premier League this season and in years past.
Oh, it's too far
gone. They're not going to beat City in, again, the immediate future, and they're not going to get out of the relegation zone in the longer distance. But they've had a great run in the Premier League. Hopefully they can battle in the Championship next season. I'm sure that Huddersfield fans will hate to hear me already talking about the Championship only heading into match day 23, but it does seem pretty foregone conclusion for a team that's only managed 13 goals out of 22 games thus far.
Yeah, that's really, really poor. We should say also, speaking of the relegation zone, that Newcastle are back in it after dropping. They lost 2-1 against Chelsea on the road in their last game. You can't really blame them for that. But they're back in the relegation zone, whereas Southampton and Burnley, I mean, they're up to 15th place now. 3 wins in a row after beating Fulham 2-1 in the last game.
Yeah, I think it's going to shake out to be a battle between Cardiff and Newcastle for who can avoid relegation.
Yeah, Southampton took a 2-1 win on the road against Leicester, something that I did not see coming at all.
Nope.
But they did it. James Ward-Prowse and Chain Long with the goals.
Yeah, I do remember saying we could see Newcastle in the relegation zone coming into match day 23.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a real rat's nest there, because you got Newcastle 18 points, and then Cardiff 19, Southampton 19, Burnley 21, Crystal Palace 22, and then you got a little bit of a jump up to Brighton with 26.
Yeah, I just can't see.
But really, you just need that little bit of good run form. Win 2 or 3 games in a row and you jump up quite high.
Yep.
Because, I mean, really, take away those 9 points from Burnley and we thought they were pretty much dead in the water too.
Mm-hmm.
So they really bounced back here in a very promising way. And then, you know, you have sort of that middle part between Watford in 7th and Bournemouth in 12th, where it's like no man's land.
Yeah. The desolate mid-table.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a gauge, because now Watford being, you know, sneaky good again, they're up to 7th place.
Yeah, but with that run of form, the gap between United and Watford is significant. And I think that 9-point gap, like the one if Chelsea are able to open between themselves and Arsenal at the weekend, is not one that's going to be bridged.
No, I don't see that happening at all. But it's a good little fight there for 7th between Watford, Leicester, West Ham also up there now after 2 wins in their last 4. And then Everton in 10th. So still a lot of good things to look forward to. Is there anything else that we want to say before we sign off?
I think that I have exhausted my frustrations with the Arsenal, and I'm going to go and drink some whiskey.
Okay, there we go. Until then, be sure to follow us on the Twitter sphere. I'm Seb Noren. Elliot is Kietzels Better, and give One Yank One Sweet a follow as well. Until next time, have a good one. Bye-bye.